I'm Sam Castell Ward. I'm a 34-year-old autistic man. I'm an artist and I also work for an arts organisation, mostly from home at the moment. I look quite young to most people. I'm white. I have like dark brown long hair with quite a bit of grey at the front, about where my hair parting is. And I have a hoop silver earring on my left ear.
How did you find the experience of keeping a touch diary? Biscuit.
Keeping a touch diary felt quite demanding. I felt like I had to write down any bit of touch and when it happened that was meaningful to me. For some people, if they were to read my touch diary, it looks like I'm writing down every single time I touched something or any time the thought of touch came to my mind. I think because so many bits of touch that I don't think would be important to most people are really important to me.
Is there anything that surprised you about keeping a touch diary?
Maybe it's something I hadn't realised how much I notice. Someone brushing past me. I didn't think that I'd be writing about that so much, actually, as it happened to be that one of the days was when I was at an open mic in a busy pub, and I hadn't been to that pub before, so I didn't realize how busy it was going to be, which was kind of quite a bit overwhelming. When I was a little kid, I remember I never liked being touched. When meeting family, I didn't want to give people a hug or a kiss. And I never wanted to be tactile with family members or anyone else, really. Then when I got a bit older, when I was maybe 11 or 12, maybe even younger, I found that I did want to touch, like, I think associated it with intimacy, like, between romantic partners. But I still tend to still not want to, like, hold hands, etc., with my family members, because I still think of it as an intimate thing.
And there were so many moments in your touch diary that I found interesting or that resonated with me or that made me think of something that I hadn't thought of before. There was another bit where you described a physical feeling in your mind that I was really curious about. It was a feeling that you seemed to have a strong sense of as a touch, but maybe that it wasn't existing in a real space but was in your mind.
There was a time when I was 17, someone who quite sort of horrible and kind of quite creepy and sort of bullied me, and I was 17 I think when I decided I didn't want to hang out with him anymore. Then because I thought of him as the most sort of horrible person ever, the idea of just feeling of him being on anything that he touched, and I would have lots of issues with my OCD, and I would have to sort of wash my clothes if I thought they'd touch anything that I thought he might have touched. Sometimes I can have that same experience with other things as well. In my touch diary, I talked about when someone was picking their nose on the train and being concerned about trying to not touch anything that person has been touching. Then I had that kind of feeling of that even when I was trying to eat some crisps while I was walking home. Like I could feel that kind of sensation based on like maybe the guy like picking his nose, which is pretty nasty. And I'm glad that feeling did eventually go away. It didn't go away until I think at lunch. I got a bit later on that day.
It sounds like you pick up a lot of detail in your environment. That means that you have lots of information, but maybe that sometimes be quite overwhelming. I was interested in your experience of touch in relation to giving or receiving care.
I'm sometimes worried about it when it's okay to give someone affection in a caring way or in any way, because I tend to worry about, yes, particularly as a man, about if I'm going to be harassing someone, particularly if that was a woman, for instance. So I tend to be cautious about when is it okay to give someone a hug or touch their shoulder or their hand. I tend to wait to see what it looks like they're going to do. Or I tend to wait for someone else to signal like sort of affection, whether it's in a caring way or just a friendship or relationship way. I tend to wait for what it looks like someone else is going to do. And sometimes that can give the impression I don't like touch or want touch. I remember someone who would normally hug everyone, but then she didn't hug me. I was like, all right. But he said just because it looked like I was kind of backing off, because like I didn't want to be hugged, but it was just that I was trying to not initiate because I didn't want to look forceful. People tend to pick up things from body language. Certainly as an autistic person, that's something I've known other autistic people can relate to. People assuming things of your body language can be a really negative thing, because we don't tend to give body language in the same way that that non-autistic people apparently do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about whether you thought that that line was complicated by being a neurodivergent person, or even whether you thought that neurotypical people make assumptions about your preferences around touch.
Yeah, because I think there's an assumption that autistic people don't like to be touched, which isn't always true. And I think it's all about consent, really. It's just you might not consent to the same types of touch that other people might at other times. And I think even people who don't know I'm autistic, I think they just think from my body language, they'll, you know, assume things from my body language. So the way that I come across to most people, I think from my body language and my tone of voice, comes across like I would rather not be touched, have affection, be left alone. It's not the case. It's just the assumptions people make, often based on things like body language or tone of voice.
And I think the other thing that I was really interested in was you talked about the sort of sense of closeness that you found at times through videos and text messages and voice notes. And I think that was something that I discovered through the pandemic, actually, was that sense of connectedness that I associate with being in people's physical presence and physical touch. That actually some of that connectedness I could get from things like voice notes.
Yeah, you could sometimes feel affectionate with someone speaking to, even if they were in a different country. I noticed possibly my best relationship I was in might have been with someone who I dated last summer, and she lived in a different country, and we never met each other in person, but we felt very close and were able to, with like video messages and audio messages and text, to feel close, that we had the same affection as we would if we were spending time as a couple in person. And also there was another interesting thing about touch with speaking to someone remotely. I remember a friend who is quite, like to be quite tactile with people and touch people and stuff. I realized that we both were talking in the video, and we put our, say, our hands or fingers both up close, so the camera was close up to them. So if she had her finger up, holding up in front of the camera, and then I put my finger there, so I was almost touching the phone, it would feel as if it was creating a physical sensation, like I think two fingers were touching in a tactile way. In some ways, like, it's tricking your mind because it feels like you're actually touching because of the visual thing.
I really like that, and I think it also shows the sort of creativeness and inventiveness of the ways that we find to show care and connection and friendship and love to each other. Is like, through the pandemic, I felt like there was this moment of like loads of people experimenting with different ways of doing it, or having to find different ways of doing it, and to sort of discover something and share it with others often feels like a really powerful act of care. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's really interesting.